Iconic Vibes zum besten Preis. Wow, geht mit Euphoria in die dritte Staffel.
Ein paar Jahre nach der Highschool wusste ich nicht, ob das Leben so war, wie ich es wollte.
Streame ab dem 13. April parallel zum US-Start wöchentlich eine neue Folge.
Das Problem ist, wenn du einen Pakt mit dem Teufel schließt, gibt es kein Zurück mehr.
Freu dich außerdem auf weitere Highlights wie House of the Dragon und Wicked. Alles ab nur 2,98 Euro im Monat. Streaming war noch nie so wow.
And now, Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
Talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time in terms of what we need to do to lay these wires, what we need to do to create these jobs. And there is such great significance to the passage of time when we think about a day in the life of our children.
This has been Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
Stu Does America.
Be sure to keep up to date on the 2024 election with the State of the Race podcast. New episode coming out, I don't know, probably tomorrow. That's what I'm going to tell you right now. What I want to really do with the State of the Race this week is to give you a breakdown of what likely will happen with the RFK Jr. dropping out of the race and endorsing Trump, assuming that happens. It's supposed to happen tomorrow. It's widely reported it's happening. What happens if he drops out of the race? How does that affect the polls? I want to give you a deep breakdown on that. I think we'll do that on State of the Race probably tomorrow. Check your local listings, which means sign up for the audio podcast, Stu Does America. Get that stream, and you'll get State of the Race for free right in that stream. It's a bonus pod on the Stu Does America feed. We also have a brand new comedy skit up on our YouTube page. It is about old people running for office. If you happen to watch last night's ridiculousness, Tim Walz is not old by any means, but wow. I mean, they were trotting out Bill Clinton out there, and that was just, it was a little bit ugly. YouTube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Also, we went live last night after the Tim Walz speech for like 45 minutes, discussed it was longer than the actual speech. Broke down the speech for you, also took your questions, answered them, at least attempted to answer them. Had a great time hanging out with people. Check it out. These are happening all the time. YouTube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Get your election fix. Just click the bell for notifications after you follow the page, and you'll get all alerts when we're going live. David Brody is going to be here in a little bit to explain the wild evangelicals for Kamala movement. AI-driven misinformation is already being used in the election, but are we just starting to scratch the surface? We'll go over the latest on that. We're going to start by doing the coronation of Kamala Harris. This is the democracy convention, said Jamie Raskin to start our week. And it's the least likely that anyone thinks it has anything to do with democracy. It's hard to preach democracy when you're putting a candidate forward that's never received a vote in any primary. How is that democracy? It's not. By any means, it's just not, at least not modern democracy. And it was kind of ridiculous. I did mention Bill Clinton was out there speaking. And you'd think, honestly, he'd be a guy at this point you just kind of, you kind of want to bury. And you leave him off the resume if you're going for a new gig and your name is Democrat. This is a guy who I would say his tenure, not necessarily quite as bright and fluffy as it was once preached as. You know, they made it seem like he was this hero of the economy, which was kind of a ridiculous tale. We've broken that down in the past many, many times. But also, like, just from the Me Too aspects, I mean, he had a credible rape accusation against him. I mean, with a woman describing what she saw out the window as this was happening. You have multiple sexual harassment accusations against her. And we kind of looked back at the time when the Monica Lewinsky thing happened, it was sort of looked at as an affair. That was it. He lied about an affair. Really now, especially on the left, you'd think they're looking at this in the Me Too power dynamic sort of situation, which is totally off limits, right? You can't have one person with too much power hooking up with another with lesser power. I don't know. I mean, that's not how I look at relationships, but whatever. I mean, still, it's a bizarre, bizarre thing. Anyway, you're kind of surprised that they would invite him back. And then he did this on the stage last night, which was one of the most bizarre things I think you could possibly say about a candidate in the situation that the Democrats are in.
Now let's cut to the chase. I am too old to gild the lily. 2 days ago, I turned 78, the oldest man in my family for four generations.
Woo, 78.
And the only personal vanity I want to assert is I'm still younger than Donald Trump.
Now, you may not know this, Bill, but I have terrible news for you. You had a candidate in this race that everyone was saying was sharp as a tack for 3.5 years, who was much, much older, and then the guy you're saying is too old defeated that guy in a debate so badly he withdrew from the race. That's the history of the event you're currently attending. Kind of a weird flex, I would say, in this particular situation if you happen to be a Democrat. But they also had Oprah. Now, Oprah, also in her 70s, she's, I think, 70 years old, and I will say her politics suck, but Ozempra looked great, actually, last night, and here she is blabbing about whatever.
Let us choose. Let us choose truth, let us choose honor, and let us choose joy.
Oh, God. She's still doing it.
Because that's the best of America. But more than anything else, let us choose freedom. Why? Because that's the best of America. We're all Americans, and together, let's all choose Kamala Harris.
I mean, come on. By the way, that was the most substantial part of any speech at the Democratic convention this week. That was it. Her going, Kamala Harris, was the most substance that it appeared in any speech. Who knows what could happen tonight? I'm sure we'll get a detailed policy breakdown of her health care agenda. I mean, again, Ozempra looking pretty good, right, for 70? I mean, geez, she looks great, but I don't know that there's much there. This is they're trying to make this, you hear the term vibes election a lot. And what vibes election basically is trying to summarize is, we're not going to make Kamala Harris say anything. We're going to hope that a bunch of celebrities are going to look happy, and then we're going to say joy a bunch of times, and then she wins, question mark? It's the old South Park thing. It's like, you know, question mark, profit. Like, what's the question mark? I don't know, but we'll profit. We got this at election won, I'm sure. Now, Tim Walz, who is, look, I find Kamala Harris to be very annoying. The other day, I watched a long video. It was a montage of her. And Pat Gray was making the case that she looked drunk in most of these clips. And there was something to be said. I don't know. Maybe she was. But what I took from it was, how did I go this long in life without being annoyed by her wild hand gestures? You're going to see it tonight, I'm sure, in the speech. And I want you to see it. I want you to see it, because once you see it, you will never be able to unsee it. Her hands are flailing around wildly, acting out every single thing. Well, when the rain comes down and the clouds go up and the thunder and lightning strike, it's insanity. Her hands are all over the place all the time, and it drives me absolutely crazy. So that's a new thing for you to be annoyed about. But I will say, I think a lot of people are annoyed by Kamala Harris. I am maybe... I'm over-indexing for my annoyance when it comes to Tim Walz. He's just so fake and irritating. And I don't understand why anyone buys this shtick. Oh, he's a father, he's a coach, he's a teacher, and he yells a lot, and he says, you know, funny things. Look at the goofy character. I mean, it's just bizarre. And I don't like him very much. Now, I'm sure he's a very nice guy. The one part of the speech I did like last night, and I mentioned this on the live stream right after the speech, his son was so freaking happy for him, and I kind of liked that. I mean, he really was. Like, he was just the tears gushing out of his eyes. I don't know. I found it kind of charming. But outside of that, I don't get the Tim Walz thing at all. He says, we're not going back. Walz formally accepts Democratic VP nomination. Now, Tim Walz, if they lose this race, his career will be so over in the Democratic Party, because it's going to be really easy to blame this on him. She had this really nice big swing up. He was rolled out. No one knows who he is. He comes out with this weird shtick that, you know, they think is going to sell really well with the Midwest. Frankly, I don't know anybody like that. Been to the Midwest a lot of times. He just appears to me to be very annoying. And so I don't think we should pin that on the rest of the people who live in the Midwest. Maybe it'll work, though. Who knows? Let's listen to some of the Tim Walz speech from last night. Here he is accepting the nomination.
Thank you, first of all, to Vice President Harris.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for putting your trust in me.
A lot of
and
trust.
For inviting me to be part of this incredible campaign.
He had nothing else going on, so he was very available.
And a thank you to President Joe Biden for 4 years of strong, historic leadership.
No, nobody believes you. It was historic in the fact that it happened in the past. Other than that, no one believes you.
It's the honor of my life to accept your nomination for Vice President of the United States.
It probably is the honor of his life. I don't think it's getting any better.
We're all here tonight for one beautiful, simple reason. We love this country.
Do ya? Do ya, Tim? Do you love this country, really? I mean, do you love some vision of the country that looks completely different because you've implemented all sorts of insane policies and tried to make us look more and more like, you know, late 80s Soviet Union type stuff? Maybe he likes that version of the country. I don't think it's because of the geographical part of the country that he doesn't like. But gosh, the principles of this country, the foundations of this country, he seems to despise based on all of the policies he's pushing for. So, I mean, he can say he loves the country. It's kind of hard to believe. Maybe he believes it. Here he is talking about another, I mean, look, there's so many lies. I won't even go through all the military stuff that would kind of hit you if you say we love this country. Maybe some military members have a little bit of a stronger opinion on that after hearing what he's done with his military service. But let me give you a different lie, this one about his family and all the IVF they were apparently using.
In Minnesota, we respect our neighbors and the personal choices they make.
No, you don't. You do not at all. You set up a phone line to rat them out.
We make those same choices for ourselves. We've got a golden rule. Mind your own damn business.
Yes. Okay, stop for 1 second. Can we stop? I don't even know if we can stop. But this is the most infuriating thing of all time. This is a party that is specifically designed to not let you mind your own business. They are minding all of your business all the time. Their entire job, every policy of theirs, is another way for them to mind your business. That's what they do. It is the central aspect of what this party does, to mind your business. And the fact that this guy can get on stage and say, oh, we got a saying around here, mind your own damn business. The fact that he can get on stage and say that and he gets cheers instead of just quizzical looks, it shows the belief, and apparently the accurate belief, that Democratic voters are stupid. Very, very stupid. If you can't decode that message from Tim Walz, you're a moron. You know what shouldn't happen in November? You voting, because you're too stupid to vote. You'll probably try to press the lever with your nose because you don't understand how it works. You have to be a complete idiot to believe any of the nonsense he just said. But let's go on and see if there's any more.
And that includes IVF and fertility treatments.
Does it?
And this is personal for Gwen and I.
Is it?
If you've never experienced the hell that is infertility, I guarantee you, you know somebody who has. And I can remember praying each night for a phone call. The pit in your stomach when the phone had rang.
Okay, stop. I can't take the sob story. First of all, I'm sure it is an agonizing process to try to make children with him. I'm sure Gwen has been very much tortured by the process. He didn't need to sell me on that one. I will say he didn't have IVF. That wasn't real. He was lying about that. In the speech, he eventually says IVF or fertility treatments, because he now has been caught in the lie. But he'd been lying about it for decades. So I'm not giving him any credit on that. And this was part of the shtick to try to say what Trump is going to do. What they said he was going to do with IVF was ban it. Now, there is absolutely no evidence of this whatsoever. It is not part of Project 2025, as they try to make that out. He is not an advocate of it. He has specifically said he would protect it. His vice presidential nominee has also said he would protect it. There is no evidence at all in any way that they want to stop IVF. It's just not true. Now, you might think, hey, I actually don't think it's the appropriate thing, IVF, and I think we shouldn't do that. You might have that opinion. Donald Trump or J.D. Vance do not. That's just where we are in life. They also said, they went through another speech, part of the speech, where they said these were the things that Trump was going to do. Raise taxes on the middle class. He is not going to raise taxes on the middle class. That's not going to occur. Donald Trump has no interest in raising the taxes on anybody. He wants to lower taxes on everybody. You might say, well, he's lowering them too much on rich people. And you might have a dumb, in my view, complaint there. But he is not going to raise taxes on the middle class. There's absolutely no evidence of that. He's going to gut Social Security, according to Tim Walz. Again, one of the reasons why Donald Trump is close to being the president of the United States and has already been president of the United States is because he won the primary in 2016, largely by differentiating himself from the rest of the field by saying he wasn't going to cut Social Security. It has been a central part of his platform since he walked on stage. Now, my view of this is different. I think we should be doing different things to Social Security to make it better and more sustainable. And I don't know, maybe get rid of it all completely, other than the people who have already been promised things. I think that has to be played out. But at the end of the day, I think it's a bad idea and a bad program. And you know what? Republicans used to agree with this, but Donald Trump doesn't. He doesn't care about cutting Social Security. You want to make this complaint about Paul Ryan in 2012? It would still be pretty much lying, but at least you'd have some sort of argument. Donald Trump is a cheerleader for these programs. It has been since the very beginning. They say he's going to ban abortion. Look, there's at least a sliver of truth there. Obviously, he put in Supreme Court justices to overturn Roe versus Wade to make it even possible for a state to ban abortion. But over and over again, he says he doesn't want to do that. He said he doesn't even want to reverse the Mifepristone situation. He is pissing people off who are pro-life right now because he's not strong enough on the issue. Now, he does have a very strong record on the issue. I kind of hope he'll be better in office than he is on this campaign right now on the issue. But at the end of the day, there is zero chance he's pushing through an abortion ban. Zero. Not 0.1, zero. No chance at all. And then Project 2025, we talked about it yesterday. He doesn't embrace it. He doesn't like it. He was actually so against it and was criticizing it so strongly, the Heritage Foundation basically shut it down. There is no reason to believe he's pursuing those goals. They know that. You know who doesn't know it? They're dumb voters. That's who doesn't know it. They don't know it. They don't know any of that stuff that I just told you because they're dumb and they're not reading anything and they don't know anything. They just believe the worst about Donald Trump because they think he's evil. Well, that's not enough. Let me give you one more. This is Kamala's agenda. Now, you might not know anything about it because they haven't said anything about it yet. But here is a really detailed explanation as to what Kamala will do.
I think we owe it to the American people to tell them exactly what she'd do as president before we ask them for their votes.
Do you think?
So here, this is the part. Oh. Clip and save it and send it to your undecided relatives.
Here it is.
So they know.
Yeah, those people who don't know any of the policies.
If you're a middle-class family or a family trying to get into the middle class, Kamala Harris is going to cut your taxes.
Bull crap.
If you're getting squeezed by prescription drug prices, Kamala Harris is going to take on Big Pharma.
Oh, really? Is she?
If you're hoping to buy a home, Kamala Harris is going to help make it more affordable.
No, she's not, sir.
And no matter who you are, Kamala Harris is going to stand up and fight for your freedom to live the life that you want.
Oh, really?
Because that's what we want for ourselves, and it's what we want for our neighbors.
Really? This guy was a school teacher? Holy crap! All those people are probably on the side of the road, homeless, because they couldn't get jobs. Anyone taught by that guy has got to be a buffoon. No wonder he thinks the people are stupid in the audience. He probably taught half of them. So this is a rundown, quickly, of what Kamala is what he believes. This is what Dems believe and we're going to do. They're going to cut middle-class taxes. Very small chance of that. In fact, there's a larger chance of them letting the Trump tax cuts expire, which would raise the taxes. So that's part number one. Of course, they've been lying to that to their audience as well, so they might not know that. Take on Big Pharma. Really? Really? The people who required the entire population to buy a product from Pfizer and Moderna over the past. Do you think we did not remember any of this? You guys have been hugging the pharmaceutical industry for years now. Now, the old school Bernie Sanders, Big Pharma is bad, has expired. Those shots no longer are valid. They've been praising and hugging Big Pharma closer than any other industry for multiple years. Going to make your home more affordable? No, she's going to throw money at the problem, which is going to make the prices go up. It's going to do the opposite of that. And mind your own damn business. I've already gone over that. There's no way that that's true. And the freedom to live the life that you want to lead, it's the exact opposite of their philosophy. All this is BS. I'm going to skip the football jargon nonsense that he did to end it because it was so stupid and tell you about tonight instead. Kamala Harris going to accept the presidential nomination on the final day of the Democratic convention. That, of course, is tonight. Now, you will be interested, I think, to know that we have live coverage of this particular event happening right here on Blaze TV. When I say live coverage, it's kind of more of a roast. We have a roast of Kamala and her dumb speech. This is going to feature myself, Sarah Gonzalez, Alex Stein, Dave Landau, Glenn Beck. You're going to appreciate this coverage, I believe. It's going to be a tad different than what you get on, let's say, MSNBC. It is going to be a lot of fun. And we'll also do sort of like live fact checks and everything else. We'll do talk to you. It's kind of we're going to be talking during the speech, like watching it with you, kind of like what we just did. Talking to them, making jokes, but also doing like live fact checks and all that stuff. And then after the end of the coverage there, we'll do a little post wrap up and then right to youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica, where we'll be going live and discussing it. Maybe bring some of the panelists on with us to kind of get their final thoughts on the evening and take your questions. We'd love to do that as well. So check it out tonight, blazetv.com/Stu. Promo code is Stu. Check out the live coverage and then follow us after that to youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica for extended coverage of Kamala and her blundering. So, who's a big fan of bird flu? Anybody? I know I am. I love the bird flu. There's new cases popping up right now, and it would be nice to be prepared for that if you, let's say, had a situation where either the bird flu actually hit you, which I would say is unlikely, but the scare is real. And if the scare pops up and everyone starts buying up, let's say, Tamiflu, where are you going to get it if you just have the regular flu and need it? Well, how about the Jace case that you have in your closet? It's a personalized emergency kit that contains essential antibiotics and medications that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. It provides 5 life-saving antibiotics for emergency use that are there for you when you need them, along with add-on options, too. Tamiflu is one of them, and it's one I would encourage you to look at because flu season's coming and, you know, medication's important to have on hand, as I found out when I was on vacation a few weeks ago. You got to have the Jace case with you for it to work. That's the only problem I have with Jace cases. Jace is hosting an exclusive giveaway where you can win a Jace case for life. 1 Jace case every year for the rest of your life, a really great package. And maybe you could put one in your suitcase so you remember it when you go on vacation. There's no purchase necessary to enter. Don't miss out. This giveaway only runs until August 31st. So enter today, jace.com/Stu, jace.com/Stu. Order the Jace case, enter the code Stu at checkout for a discount on your order. The promo code is Stu at jace.com. jace.com/Stu. It's the Jace case from Jace Medical.
Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Tchibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecrema oder Kaffeegrande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Tchibo-Filiale und auf tchibo.de.
I'm joined now by David Brody. He's a chief political analyst for CBN News. He has a new exclusive out this week at CBN.com. It's Evangelicals for Harris. Use false prophet Bible message in provocative new ad against Trump. I'll tweet out the link to the story. Be sure to check it out. David, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Thanks, Stu. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I appreciate it. This is interesting because we've heard about like 25 other groups for Harris, which were like, you know, white dudes for Harris and, you know, crypto for Harris. Evangelicals for Harris hasn't had as much attention to it, but honestly, I think it's probably a lot more important as far as the actual election outcome. What is this organization?
You're absolutely right. It's a group. It's an effort. It's loosely formed, but it's run by a guy named Reverend Jim Ball. He used to be a big climate activist. But they've got a lot of folks behind this, over 200,000 or so. But here's the bottom line. They're trying to pick off some conservative evangelicals that have soured on Trump. That's the bottom line. I mean, here's also the truth. And let's get the disclaimer, Stu, out of the way to begin with. Trump's going to win the majority of conservative evangelicals. That's his base. He'll probably win 75 to 80% of them. But as you know, Stu, elections are won at the margins, and this is going to be a closer race. And so if you kind of deep dive, not to kind of go all geek, put on the geek hat, if you will, but if you deep dive into the conservative evangelical movement, and what we're talking about specifically, at least the way Pew Research identifies them, these are white evangelical Protestants. When you look at white evangelical Protestants, you see about 37% of them think Trump was a great president, 37% say a good president. But then you get into murky numbers. Only 9% think he's average, 6% say he's poor, 10% think he's terrible. You put those numbers together, that's 25%. That's the type of voter that they're going for, the ones that have been like, look, I was with you in 2016, I was kind of with you in 2020, but I'm done with the drama. And I'm checked out. And so they're hoping they can capitalize on that. And if they do, indeed, Sue, they could win. And we can get into more of those numbers, but I can explain why. But the bottom line is they have a shot at the margins.
I will say, David, there's no worries for you to get too nerdy for this audience when it comes to numbers. This is what we do here. So I appreciate you breaking that down, because it's a higher number than I would have expected, honestly. And we remember back from 2016, there was a large portion of conservative evangelicals that were very uncomfortable with Donald Trump, even if they kind of held their nose and pulled the lever for him. But that group still being at 25%, it's significant. And there's a difference between maybe the way that Biden performed among this group and the way that, let's say, Hillary Clinton performed.
Well, 100%. And we'll go back even to Barack Obama. Once again, we're talking about white evangelical Protestants, the Trump conservative base. Barack Obama in 2008 got 26% of the conservative evangelical vote. That is huge. He won the White House. Joe Biden got 24% of that same conservative evangelical vote. He won the White House. Hillary Clinton didn't do as well, won 16% of that conservative evangelical base. She lost. Look, Stu, the magic number is 20%. If Kamala Harris can get to 20% or a little bit north of that, 21, 22%, she most likely, as a matter of fact, indeed would win the White House. If she is with a conservative evangelical number on election night of anywhere from 20 to 23%, she's probably going to win the White House.
Wow. I mean, you realize how important this group is. I talked to a couple of weeks ago to Ali Beth Stuckey about this group, and she was talking about how to message to this group. It's not, you know, it's not fire and brimstone, right? Like a lot of these people are look at these topics and might agree with conservative viewpoints on a lot of them. But the messaging is really important here, is it not?
It really is. And look, here's the message from Evangelicals for Harris. It's a social justice gospel. That's what it is. You know, we've heard all about it. If you kind of travel in evangelical circles, you hear about Matthew 25. It's all about compassion and the biblical mandate for compassion. And of course, compassion's in the Bible, but that's where their gospel stops. It just kind of pretty much goes with the compassion aspect, not as much with the law and order aspect of it. So you have that. And it, beyond being a social justice gospel, Evangelicals for Harris is really kind of leftist thought. Some would call it Christian socialism. Other people would call it a Marxist liberation theology or ideology. Mm. So that is the one side of it. It's kind of like the love thy neighbor biblical commandment. Remember, Barack Obama did the golden rule back in 2008, you know, that same type of idea. That's where they come down on. And of course, Donald Trump has policies that are more traditional, fundamentalist in nature, ones that appeal to conservative evangelicals, which are the bulk of evangelicals in this country. So that's the kind of the contours of the argument, and that's where we're at right now.
An organization like this, David, doesn't just pop up out of nowhere, right? Mm-hmm. We know that there's a ton of money behind this. They seem to be running a lot of ads. They seem to be pretty well produced. Where's the money coming from for this organization?
Well, a couple things. First of all, they were evangelicals for Biden before they were evangelicals for Harris.
Right,
so
that's,
you know, they kind of morphed everybody at the last minute. Quick, let's change. But they seem to have a little bit more of a compelling message, actually, with Kamala Harris, because they can go back to those Obama roots. It's cobbled together as it relates to the money. I mean, there's no BlackRock here. There's no big corporation funding this this thing. It is, feels a little bit more grassroots than others. I'm not saying there might not be some sort of trace as we kind of dig deeper into corporate funds. But at this point, I haven't seen any sort of corporate footprint on this at all. I think this is very much so grassroots. It's not related to the Harris campaign at all. Obviously, they communicate, you know, the way they have to communicate from an FEC standpoint, but it's not related to the Harris campaign technically.
That'd be interesting. I think we'll wind up with an interesting story when we see what the donors were, I think, at the end of this.
For sure.
It'll be interesting to see. You've been watching this stuff for a long time. I've certainly never seen a situation where, you know, a candidate can get into a race and go for over now a month without actually really having any questions asked of them, very few policies given. What do you make of the state of the race right now?
Well, I got to tell you, they, the Kamala Harris folks, hope this is a vibe election, as we've been hearing all along. Look, I think she could coast a lot more easily than normal because of the extenuating circumstances here at the last minute. I mean, remember, there's typically, Stu, as you know, a honeymoon period. Well, look, we're at the end. I mean, the honeymoon period could last all the way to November. So the way I see the state of the race now, there's the larger presidential race, but then there is a more important race right now, and that is the race to define Kamala Harris, the narrative race, if you will. And I think whoever wins the narrative race, which is in essence a subset of the larger race, is going to win the presidential race. Is it going to be Comrade Kamala, according to Donald Trump and the Trump campaign, or is it going to be Hope and Joy Kamala? Someone that, I mean, how many times do I have to hear that she worked at McDonald's? I got it. Great. Good for you. Middle class, all of that. You know, I care about you. Better angels, all that type of thing. You know, typically, Stu, in political campaigns, optimism typically wins. Now we have a situation where they're trying to do vibe, they're trying to do joy, they're trying to do optimism, but there's a harsh reality in the fundamentals, which is that the cake is somewhat baked to a degree. The economy, immigration, inflation, crime, you put it all together, and Donald Trump is winning the fundamental argument from a reality standpoint. But then you've got the vibe that we've talked about. So, you know, obviously it's a margin of error race. I think ultimately, if you kind of gun to the head type of situation, I think Trump prevails. Obviously, it's all about enthusiasm and getting your base out. But I think Trump prevails. And the reason is because ultimately the fundamentals have not changed in this race. And if you look a little bit deep at, I know we're going geeky again, but you say you like geeky.
I do.
But if you look at the crosstabs, Kamala Harris is underperforming as it relates to what Joe Biden was doing at this time 4 years ago. She's underperforming among blacks by 12%, black voters, by Hispanics 4%, and by men about 4% as well. So she is underperforming. And if she's underperforming in those three groups, it's game, set, match for her.
Last one for you. We got about a minute left here, David. Mm-hmm. This concept, you brought it up, joy, right? They keep saying joy, 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 over and over and over and over again. And like, it's kind of one of those things to me where like, you're not supposed to say the thing you're projecting. People should just notice that and observe, hey, this is a joyful campaign. No, they're just saying it. But is this another strategy to try to win that same group of voters we started with, this, these sort of disaffected Christian evangelicals who look at Trump and be like, I just don't like his vibes. I don't like his attitude. I don't like what he says about people. These people are at least happy. And I can see myself in that group. Is that kind of a similar effort?
For sure. It is. I also think it's three pronged. Remember, Biden was going with this, you know, Trump's a threat to democracy. And, you know, you might not like me, but vote for me because I'm not Trump. And it was very doom and gloom. It was very, you know, like I said, threat to democracy. So they're trying to flip the script and go with the younger candidate that has the hope and joy. Notice it's not hope and change. Of course, we know Barack Obama was hope and change, but you can't say hope and change because she's the vice president. So wait, so you would want to change from something that she's had responsibility for the last 4 years? So you can't do that. So now you're at hope and joy. And I believe those two factors are crucial. And one last thing on the joy situation, this is a way to take the awkward laugh off the table. I mean, I think this is what they're doing here. You know, they're embracing her laugh to say it's joy rather than kind of a weird little laugh that people are just like, are you serious? They're trying to turn it into a positive. And I think, honestly, they've done a very good job. Look, they're pitching a no-hitter, but the truth of the matter is they're not getting fastballs. They're not getting, someone's not pitching them as hard as they should because the media, you know, shame on them. Shame on them for, in essence, giving her a free pass, at least up to this point. And one last thing I'll say, we've seen prompter Kamala, but we haven't seen off-script Kamala yet. Mm-hmm. And let's wait to the press conference. Let's wait to the debate. Let's wait to the first interview. I'm not suggesting the interview is going to be some sort of Edward R. Murrow masterpiece, but I do think at some point she will be off script, and at that point, I think we'll have a better sense.
Yeah, we haven't seen off script Kamala. We haven't seen off script Walls. We haven't seen We haven't even seen any questions at all, on prompter or not. It's been a bizarre few weeks. And you brought this up, and I think this is going to surprise a lot of people. Kamala Harris is the vice president of the United States right now. It's stunning if you're watching this campaign. I feel like that's news to about half the populace right now. David Brody, I appreciate it. Chief political analyst for CBN News. Be sure to check out his exclusive over at CBN.com. I'll tweet out a link as well. It's Evangelicals for Harris Use False Prophet Bible Message in Provocative New Ad Against Trump. A lot of the geeky numbers are in there, David. We love that stuff. David, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Anytime.
When President Biden dropped his bid for re-election, he told us that one of his top priorities was going to be essentially to reform the Supreme Court, whatever that means, right? And we didn't know at that point what that actually meant. And then he introduced the plan, and it's just obviously unconstitutional. This is a plan that would end life tenure for justices, impose a binding code of ethics on the Supreme Court. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense with the Constitution, that's for sure. Don't be fooled. President Biden's court reform scheme is nothing more than a desperate attack to end the legitimacy of the Supreme Court. His proposals are both unconstitutional and a threat to our republic. The future of the Supreme Court depends on our response. That's why First Liberty, which is a great organization, they are leading the way as far as constitutional experts in protecting religious liberty. They're asking you to join them and over 500,000 like-minded patriots in the fight against this brazen power grab. Join us in the fight to save the Supreme Court by adding your name in support of the Statement of Judicial Independence. It's time to say no to the Biden plan, no to court reform, and no to the Supreme Court coup. Right now, you can go get more information, add your name to the list. Please check out supremecoup.com, supremecoup.com/stew. It's supremecoup.com/stew. It's First Liberty.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
All right, we got 1, 2, 3, 4 stories in about 3 minutes to do them, so let me get right to it. Fake celebrity endorsements become the latest weapon in the misinformation wars, sowing confusion ahead of the 2024 election. Taylor Swift apparently did not endorse Donald Trump last weekend, as there's some pictures that showed some Swifties for Trump. I guess they have now 550 unique instances of election-related misinformation they have found. Now, God only knows how many of those are true, but of course, anybody can make these images, and this is going to happen. And it is going to be, you got to really question whether if what you're seeing is real or not. They blame, by the way, Elon Musk essentially for this because the Grok, there's a bunch of these different AIs, ChatGPT and Claude and Gemini and all these things. But Grok, which is the Elon Musk X version of this, can make the high quality images just like the other services, but is much, much easier to get the thing that you want made. A lot of them are super restrictive if you try to put politics into it. And Grok apparently isn't, so they're trying to blame Elon Musk. Another reason why Elon Musk is ruining our nation to leftists who used to love him because he made electric cars. Donald Trump, by the way, all this hype for Kamala Harris, Trump is still the favorite to win the election with bookmakers. And I want to do this maybe next week in a monologue, but remember the Kamala Harris campaign, the first one back in 2019, 2020? Remember her having this great launch, and remember her having the good moment against Joe Biden when she called him a racist and everyone cheered? When that happened, she had a nice little bubble. I mean, she went from 0% to like 14%. She was in second or third place right there in the competition. And then that just kind of faded. She had a little boomlet and then it died. You have to wonder if we're getting to the end of that right now. I mean, 33 days, I think it's been, over a month at least, since she launched, and still no inquisitive journalists have stepped up to ask any questions, really no criticism, so that's still there. And all of that's going on while she, who is, by the way, currently vice president of the United States, her administration just overestimated how many jobs they created by, you know, a few, 818,000. But just the 818 billion, just 818,000. That's nothing when you think about it like that. The New York Times has this graph, which is pretty amazing, where you can see how off these summaries were. What does this do exactly? I mean, you'd think if they were doing it entirely for politics, they'd hold this for a couple more months somehow and not release it. But it did give an impression that the economy was better than it was. And now it's interesting. They get this news right when they're in the middle of changing their messaging from, hey, the economy's great, to actually it wasn't that great, but Kamala Harris is going to fix it on day one. So we'll see. By the way, finally, what's behind Nancy Pelosi siding with a big tech over a key California Democrat? This is an interesting question, and there is an answer to it. Nancy Pelosi only cares about Nancy Pelosi. So, you know, asked and answered. Have you ever asked your skin a question? No? So you're sane? So you're not a Kamala Harris voter? Do you think the skin enjoyed the summer as much as you did? Well, Stephanie from Santa Cruz, California, has some commentary on that particular topic. She said, I have skin damage from years in the sun. I love this product, GenuCell, because it reduces the appearance of various discolorations and leaves my skin looking younger. Great even at my age. Stephanie is raving about the GenuCell Dark Spot Corrector, a must-have now after months of record heat and time in the sun. Sunspots, brown spots, discoloration, even red inflamed patches all disappear in front of your very eyes. GenuCell Guarantee is amazing. You'll see results the very first day, guaranteed, or your money back. Take advantage of the GenuCell current most popular package, which includes the GenuCell bags and puffiness treatment and immediate effects, all at about 70% off. So you can try the best skincare in the world for yourself, completely risk-free. It's simple. Go to GenuCell.com/stew. Do it today. Start looking years, even decades younger tomorrow. Guaranteed. It's GenuCell.com/stew. Special gift. Every package order right now includes the brand new GenuCell Liquid Collagen Builder. Free. You're going to want to try this out. Guaranteed to improve the appearance of your skin, your hair, and your nails. Yours free today. It's GenuCell.com/stew, GenuCell.com/stew. This is sort of unrelated to everything else, but I just learned, I think this is amazing, that, you know, like when you're watching like a movie and they break into a bank vault and there's like, you know, gold bars everywhere. You know how much one of those gold bars is worth now? $1 million. $1 million per gold bar. Not incredible? That is amazing, but I'm totally unrelated to anything else. By the way, Senator Bob Menendez resigned following the corruption verdict that he had the other day. And he's no longer there. Now, God only knows what he negotiated with Democrats. He was trying to get all sorts of stuff. Maybe a pardon worked in there. We'll see if that happens. But Menendez is out. His son is running, though. And so we'll see how that works out. And finally, sad news from the world of gay penguins. You know, we've covered, of course, we are the number one show when it comes to coverage of gay penguin relationships. And I can finally tell you the sad story that Magic 8... Oh, actually, it's Magic, who's 8 years old. Sorry, Magic, the very underaged penguin here. I don't know what kind of relationship this is, but Magic was the partner to Sven, who was 12, and they were gay lovers, these two penguins. And this was covered widely in the news, I guess, to prove that animals can be gay and therefore it's natural. I think this was the shtick as to why you've heard about the gay penguins, if you've heard about the gay penguins. But Sven's dead. It's a sad, sad story. They brought, by the way, to torture their the partner, Magic, they brought him to Sven's body so that he could understand his partner wouldn't return. That's kind of dark. I mean, what, penguins really going to even notice? Probably not. But he immediately started singing. So a song for Sven. Yes. Okay, coming up soon, 9 p.m. Eastern, it's the Blaze Roast of the final night of the DNC. Myself, Dave Landau, Sarah Gonzalez, Alex Stein, Glenn Beck, and more. Do not miss it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll be laughing at Kamala Harris as she, I'm sure, laughs at herself. So join us tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, blazetv.com/stew. Promo code is stew.